الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ليس الغنى عن كثرة العرض، ولكن الغنى غنى النفس، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, and there is a common cry in the entire world where people complain of restlessness, anxiety, depression, stress. Everyone is seeking a peaceful, serene, tranquil life. Everyone desires tranquility, contentment, happiness, bliss. People do not want to live stressful lives, suffering depression, anxiety, becheni, restlessness. And in order to acquire this tranquility and peace of mind, and then we adopt the means in this world which is permissible, the asbab of raha, of comfort. So a person will buy a house, he will buy a nice car, he will buy a nice bed. However, despite having the asbab, the means of giving him comfort and peace and serenity, we find a person will still complain because he is still experiencing restlessness. He is not satisfied, he is not happy, he is suffering some misery, some wretchedness. And he will say, I have purchased a house, but not a home. In other words, he's saying that I've got a house, I've got a building, a structure, but there seems to be no peace in that house, so I cannot call it a home. I've purchased a bed. It's a very soft bed. However, I'm not getting a peaceful sleep. I still have to take my pills, my sleeping tablets to give me some sleep. Man believes that by accumulating the material things of this world, by amassing wealth, then he will gain this peace of mind and tranquility and serenity and happiness and enjoyment. No. Perhaps we have mentioned this example previously in some talk, where a person, an ordinary layman, he looked at the riches of a king and the luxury life, the luxurious life he was living, a life full of opulence and plentiful. So he praised the king and the life of the king. So the king invites him to his home for a meal. And of course, this man is delighted. And as they sit on the Dasar Khan there, and he's got the best of food in front of him, variety of food that he never saw in his life. And he realizes that, look at this king, what so much of bounties he's enjoying. But suddenly then he looks above his own head, and he sees a very sharp sword that is hanging on a thin piece of thread. And obviously now he becomes alarmed, he's afraid, he's scared, and the king asks him, what's the matter? Is the food not right? Is it not enough for you, sufficient? He says, it's plenty. This is the best food I've ever seen in my life, but above me is the sword. At any moment the thread can snap and the sword will fall onto my head and I will become injured. So the king says, this is exactly our life. We may have the outward things in this world, but there's always fear in our heart. Perhaps an enemy may attack us. So we don't have that peace, the tranquility, tranquility, the serenity, the contentment that you think that we are enjoying. Another person, a billionaire, who had plentiful, and he had these huge vaults in which he would store his money, and stacks of dollars, and all the coins and the gold coins he had. And one particular day, he was inspecting his properties, and he saw the vault door open, so he goes inside. There used to be a gatekeeper, a person who was in charge of that huge vault, and for this few seconds he had to just go somewhere, and it was safe for him to go. But when he came back, he locked the vault door, not realizing the owner himself was inside. And those huge doors. And after the person inspected his money, and he was so delighted, now he wishes to exit, but he finds that he's trapped inside the door, and he begins to bang and shout and scream. But we know that the door was locked, and the person outside could not hear, and this person dies after some time within his own stacks of dollars and gold coins that he had amassed. Did he experience tranquility, serenity? Was this peace of mind, contentment? No. Lo and behold, if a person checks the internet, or you may have read those articles, in today's time, despite the progress man has made, even animals like dogs suffer depression. They also undergo stress. A dog actually loses his bark. There's a withdrawal syndrome. And there are various reasons for this. And science has mentioned one reason, that the dog has lost its purpose in life. The same dog that was going with the sheep, after some time the farmer sold the sheep, the dog had no other job. So it actually began to experience a stressful life. And they treat dogs for this. The dog has lost its purpose in life. My respected brothers and elders, we are human beings. And we are believers. We have a goal and we have a purpose in life. And Allah has mentioned in the Quran, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ What do you think? That we have created you in vain, for no purpose, no direction, no object, no aim in life? No. You have forgotten that you will be returned to us, to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ We have a purpose in life. We have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many verses in the Holy Quran which gives us a prescription to gain this tranquility, this peace of mind, this contentment. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ Behold, it is through the remembrance of Allah. Not only by making zikr with the tongue, but by means of our limbs, our heart. We are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our nourisher, our cherisher, the most generous. This will give us the peace of mind. And the verse that I quoted in the beginning, whoever does good deeds, righteous deeds, ulama explain, what is righteous deeds? All those deeds that are in conformance with Quran and Sunnah. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has shown us, what Allah has authorized, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has brought in his life. And with that, a person has ikhlas, sincerity. These are the two essential components of amalun salih, a righteous deed. It must be in conformance with Quran and Sunnah. And a person must have ikhlas, sincerity, then it is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whoever has, who does good deeds, man amila salihan, Allah says specifically in this verse, there are a few verses where Allah specifically mentions the male and female gender. And this is one particular verse. Be he male or female, ذكر أو أنثى. But the condition, وهو مؤمن, he has belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's a true believer. For such a person, Allah says, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ. We will most surely, certainly, great emphasis in this verse, in this word, we will give him a life. What type of life? حَيَاتًا طَيِّبًا. A peaceful, serene life. As that Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi translated this word as ba lutf zindagi, a life of happiness, enjoyment, a pleasant life, not a miserable life, not a wretched life. So Allah promises that I will give him this peaceful life, this serene life, a life that he will enjoy. But the moment we move away from iman and amali salihah, our iman weakens, and we stop doing those good deeds which Allah has commanded us to do. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي. Allah says in another verse, whoever turns away from my remembrance, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. For him is this very wretched, straight, narrow, tight life. There is no spaciousness that he can see. Everything is so narrow and tight. He may have all the things in this world, but he is feeling miserable. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. And in the hereafter we will raise him blind. He will say, oh Allah, why did you raise me blind? I could see well in this world. I had vision. I had the power of sight, the faculty of seeing you bestowed me with. Allah will say, but you ignored my signs. You turned away from my remembrance. So today a punishment is that you have been raised blind. You forgot my verses. Today you also will be abandoned and ignored. May Allah save us. Ma'ishatan dhanka, a wretched life, a miserable life, that will cause a person, force a person to take drugs, to take sleeping tablets, to even commit suicide. We have seen the so-called, the outward glamour of celebrities in this world, the pop stars, the musicians, the singers, and go behind the scenes, literally behind the scenes. What do you see? The life is not a happy one. If not all, 99% of the time we find there's a divorce in their married life. How many of them commit suicide? Despite having all the glamour in the world, all the riches in the world. But the missing ingredient in their life is they have got no iman, no amal salihah. Allah has blessed us with iman. May Allah give us a strong iman. May Allah give us tawfiq of doing more and more righteous and pious deeds. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, لَا تَذْهَبْ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا تَذْهَبُ الدُّنْيَا. He has taken a qasam in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. In that being in whose control is my life, Rasulullah sallam takes an oath and he says, this dunya will never come to an end. حَتَّى يَمُرَّ الرَّجُلِ. A man will pass by عَلَى الْقَبْرِ, upon a grave. فَيَتَمَرَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. And he will actually roll on this grave. وَيَقُولُ. And he will say, يَا لَيْتَنِي. How I wish, كُنْتُ مَكَانَ صَاحِبِ الْقَبْرِ. That I was the inmate of this qabr. And I was dead. I was not alive. وَلَيْسَ بِهِ الدِّينِ إِلَّا الْبَلَىٰ. Rasulullah says, it is not because he is unable to practice on deen. Everything is easy for him. Azan is called out. He's got the masjid. He's got musalla. He can make wudu with ease and comfort. He's got all the comforts of this world. But it is the trials and tribulations of dunya. When a person becomes obsessed and consumed by this dunya, and when he finds no time for the akhirat, then this is what happens. He experiences this misery. Abu Hazim rahmatullahi alayhi, a great saint of his time, when Abdul Malik bin Marwan, who was the king of that time, the ruler, he asked him, Abu Hazim, tell me, ma lana nakrahul maut? Why is it that we detest death? We don't want to die. Why is it? He says, because amarna dunyana, we have inhabited, we have built and fortified our world. Wa afsadna, and we have destroyed akhiratana, our hereafter. We made no preparation for the hereafter. All our skill, all our intelligence, all our time, all our energy is only to fortify this world. So he says, okay, كيف القدوم على الله? How will be our meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he said, "In kana muhsin," if the person is a good doer, then he'll be like that child who has gone overseas, has gone abroad, a dutiful child, an obedient child, and he's gone to study overseas. And after a few years now, he has not seen his parents, and now they all go to the airport to welcome him, to make his istiqbal. And when he comes and everybody embraces him, he's welcome, and he's so happy, and the parents are so happy, and they have a huge dawat for him. He's an obedient child. He's been absent for some time. He's gone for a good purpose. He's achieved this purpose, and he's come back to his parents. And he says, if in kana musi'an, if the person is an evildoer, then he's like a slave who has escaped from his master. And now after some time, the master catches him. He's brought back to the master. And now he looks down. He's fearful for his life. He's embarrassed for what he has done. Like that, a sinner will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. So Allah wants to give us, and Allah promises hayatan tayyiba, this peaceful life, a life of serenity, a life of tranquility, and a life of bliss and happiness and enjoyment. Yes, a person will be tested in this world, every one of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif lam mim, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. What does man feel? That we will not test him. Ayutraku, he will be just left one side. Despite saying we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we claim we love Allah, وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ, they will not be tested in this world. They will be tested. Every one of us will have to go through obstacles and hurdles, and this is life, and this is the test that Allah puts for us to make us reach closer and closer to Him. So that will happen. There will be some time loss in business. There will be some loss of life. There will be loss of property. There will be some sickness. But a believer treats all this in a different way compared to one who is far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A believer understands and he realizes and he has certitude that my rozi comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he makes the necessary arrangements for his rozi. He works hard. He goes out to earn a halal, lawful business, lawful trade. He makes the correct effort. After making his effort, if he sees that profit, he thanks Allah, he praises Allah. If there seems to be some loss, he never becomes overwhelmed. He does not become anxious. He does not begin taking tablets. He is happy. رَضِيَ بِمَا قَضَاهُ اللَّهُ لَهُ. He is happy with what Allah has decided for him. If some musibat, some mihan, some disaster befalls him, then he understands, I got to exercise sabr, because for sabr there is great reward. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغِيرِ حِسَابٍ. Limitless reward for those who are perseverant and patient. So he is able to bear this loss with patience. Unlike an ignorant person, or a person who is far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a disbeliever, he doesn't understand what is sabr. He doesn't have any belief in rewards for making sabr. So he becomes overwhelmed by this problem and grief. A believer understands this dunya is only temporary. And what Allah has got for him in the hereafter is far more greater. And that is eternal. And this is the hayatan tayyiba Allah talks about in the Quran. That a person is given a rizqul halal. Halal rizq, he makes the correct effort. And he has qanaat in his life, he has contentment in his life. He does not complain against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes shukr. لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرَضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. It is not abundant wealth that a person has and makes him a rich person. You're a rich person if you have richness of the heart. If you have contentment of the heart. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, do not look at those who are above you in the dunya. انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم. Look at those who are less fortunate than you. You have shoes, he's got no shoes. You've got feet, he's got no feet. You've got good health, he's got sickness. Make shukr, look at those who are below you, who are unfortunate. Don't look at those above you. If you look at those who are less fortunate than you are, you will thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. You'll be more appreciative of what Allah has given you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one hadith, that person who rises in the morning, man asbaha minkum aminan fi sirbihi aw sarbihi, in his way, in his path, or regarding his nafs, himself or his family. He's got complete security, aman. He's got no fear. Mu'afan fi jasadi, he's got a good health. He's not suffering any ailment, any sickness. Indahu qutu yawmi, he's got sufficient food for that day. فَكَأَنَّمَا حِيزَتْ لَهُ الدُّنْيَا بِحَذَافِيرِهَا. It is as though the whole world with all its contents has been gathered for him. He is the king. Literally, he is a king. He's got everything found for him. And Rasulullah has mentioned, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ. Successful is that person, وَمَنْ هُدِيَ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. He's been guided to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Islam. وَرُزِقَ كَفَافًا. And he is given sufficient rosy sustenance. وَقَنِعَ. And he is showing contentment of the heart, gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu used to say, when any calamity would befall him, then he would say, Alhamdulillah, this calamity did not strike or come upon me in my deen, with regard to my deen. My deen did not suffer. It wasn't a bala, a calamity that affected my iman, that affected my deen, that affected my reading salah, or discharging my roza or zakat. This calamity came onto my dunya. Then he would thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he would say, shukr, this calamity could have been worse. It wasn't so bad. And then he would say, and he would contemplate, that this calamity that I am suffering from is nothing to the greatest calamity the entire ummah of Rasulullah suffered. And what was that? When Rasulullah left this world, that was the greatest calamity that this ummah suffered. And therefore any person, whatever calamity a person has, think of that calamity when Rasulullah left this ummah. So this is what Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu ponder and reflect over. So my respected brothers and elders, there's so much more I would like to share. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us, and Islam shows us, if you want serenity, peace of mind, tranquility, bliss, happiness, contentment, hayatan tayyiba, mufassirin say, al-rizqul halal, al-qana'ah, halal rozi, qana'ah, ma'rifatullah, the recognition of Allah, at-tawfiq li ta'atillah, wa halawati ta'ah, a person gets the tawfiq, the ability, the opportunities from Allah to obey Allah. This is hayatan tayyiba. And then he begins to enjoy the sweetness of his obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he puts his down in sajda, he actually feels that ecstasy. When he opens the Quran, he just wants to continue reciting. When he makes one subhanallah, when he takes the name of Allah, he enjoys some happiness, some bliss, some joy within himself. And then he is rida bil qada. He is happy with whatever decision Allah makes for him. And his gaze is never on the makhluq. He has istighnayat. Al-istighna'an il-khalq. Because all the time he's looking at Allah, whatever Allah provides for me. He never stretches hand to the people. Whatever Allah gives me, I'm happy with that. This is hayatan tayyiba. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Ulama say, this peaceful life, serenity is not in this world only, but even in the barzakh, in the qabr also. There also he will have peace. And in the akhirat, Allah says, we will give him even more. We will reward him for the good that he did in this world. And ulama explain, hayatan in the akhirat, bila maut, there will be no maut in the hereafter. It will be in an eternal life. It will be siha, bila marad, health without any sickness, without any disease. Ghinan, richness, bila faqrin, without any poverty. You won't have any fear in Jannah, you will become poor. It will be just be abundance and abundance of Allah's bounties. Sa'ada, bila shaqawa. He'll have true happiness without suffering any misery. He'll have mulk, kingdom, palaces, rivers, fruit. Bila zawal, which will never be snatched away from him. It will be unending. There's a very intriguing story that I read, and we'll terminate with the story, which gives us some positivity, inshallah. We will end up with this positive note. Perhaps we feel sometimes our iman is low, our amal is salihah, we are weak. And look at the life of others. And to tie up this, what I'm explaining today about hayatan tayyiba, just recently I purchased a book in Makkah, and this book has various incidents which are true incidents. And this person, because we don't have much time, I'm going to make it very brief. He came from one of our African countries. His name was Abdullah, born as a Muslim. But the environment in which he lived in was not very conducive for his deen, for his iman. So he practiced no deen. He was a little boy, and Allah blessed him with a very melodious voice. So he used to sing for the class. He became a musician, and all eyes were focused on him. And everybody should admire him and adore him. To such an extent that even the people in the school, the officials, and later on government officials, when they saw his talent, they gave him all the means to master this music in his life. He became a musician, and then he became the minister of the Department of Music in schools, and this is also under his supervision. And he had plentiful, to such an extent, then he built nightclubs. And this was his life, just music, music, dining, wining. And he says, I developed this. It began to progress to such an extent, I had naked women dancing for me. The youth would just throng around me. I would get all their praises, name and fame. I was so famous, even in government circles, not only in my country, but neighboring country. But they were always anti-Islam forces against us, even from the government. And even there was war that took place. But nonetheless, my father got me married. And he says, on the day of my nikah, a Muslim girl I was married to, she didn't seem so excited as other women would have been to marry me. I was a celebrity. He thought perhaps it's just some modesty as a bride. And as time went past, he saw that she was a bit different. He says, I would leave home after Asr. I would go out, that was my time for work, and I would reach, come back home at the time of Fajr. And he says, my wife should be all alone, and I should go and brag about, and boast about my life, and you know, this woman came to my life, and that music, and this happened, and the youth all around me. And she would just look at me with a different face, a sad face. And he says, Azan of Fajr is called, and she goes on to her musalla when I would go to bed. And after 5 years, she comes to me, she says, Abdullah, listen, this is not why I got married. I got married thinking that you'll be a faithful Muslim, person who is loyal to his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not life. You may have plentiful, you may have all the riches in the world and all the pomp and glory, but this is not what Allah wants from us. Your name is Abdullah, the servant of Allah. Azan is called out, called to prayer. Everybody is going to the masjid. Why don't you also go to the masjid? See, Allah created all of us with iman, with fitrah. He says, this began to flicker in my heart. And I thought, yes, what she's saying from within my heart, what she's saying is true. But then started the war and the debate and the challenge within myself. What my wife is saying, I say, give up to what she's saying. Oh, but look at what have I achieved. I'm a top musician. I've got all the glitter and glamour in the world and the people around me. No. I will not give up to what she's saying. And he goes to sleep. And after some time again, one morning or one evening after, he says, I had a shower and now I'm leaving. It was almost before Asr, I'm leaving. And she calls with tears in her eyes, Abdullah, listen to me. Allah is calling you. Why don't you pray to Allah? Why don't you leave all this? He says, I just ran out of the house because I didn't want her to overwhelm me. But as I moved in the street, he says, suddenly I heard the adhan. My hair stood on end. My heart began to tremble. He was known as the king of melody. And he says, suddenly, something moved me away and took me towards the masjid. And I made wudu. And I joined the safs. There were people who recognized me. Some person waved me from a distance. People came and shook my hands. He said, it brought me such happiness. Suddenly, this is hidayat from Allah. I began to change. I went home that day, not after Fajr, after Isha. My wife was shocked to see me. He says, I have divorced the life of being a musician. She was amazed. He says, now I started changing. Now I became closer to Allah. I became a good believer. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّن ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. This حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً is coming to his life. And now he says, the first test. I stopped the job of music and the studio I had. I started having Islamic cassettes and Islamic tapes. He says, but the business was not booming anymore. And there was loss in my rosy, in my wealth. This was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was steadfast. People will come, friends. Come on, Abdullah. You're going to become a poor man. Just one night, come and sing for us. We'll give you double than what you should earn. He says, no, I will never. Eventually, the government now put pressure on him. When they heard of his life, He summoned him. He said, no, you go on to state television and you must declare that you made a mistake and apologize and come back to music. He says, I'll never do so. Finally, they incarcerated him. He was imprisoned for a few years. They tortured him. They did whatever they could do. When they saw he was steadfast, Allah gave him hayatan tayyiba. Allah made him a true believer. They released him. And he says, after that, I went for hajj with my wife. And this was what I was waiting for. Imagine making tawaf of the Kaaba. And his life now was so different. He really enjoyed the peace and harmony and serenity in his heart. And then he even became, for one stage, because there was war in his country, he could not go back. He became the muadhin, one of the masjids in Makkah. And his entire life changed. My respected brothers and elders, the story is quite long. But there's a lesson for all of us. We all are weak servants. Don't look at the next person. There's hope for all of us to make this change in our life. Do not wait for more to come, because then there is no hayatan tayyiba. Allah says, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاتًا طَيِّبًا. We promise we'll give him that peaceful life in this world and in the akhirat. We will give him great reward, reward that he didn't even anticipate. May Allah give us all of us hayatan tayyiba. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَنَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.